Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, Merry Christmas, Macquarie. I hope you've had an absolutely awesome Christmas. I know I have. I'm in holiday mode right now. I know it doesn't look like it, but I am in holiday mode, just loving time with the family. And our prayer is that you're loving time with your family too, that you are absolutely having an incredible Christmas break. Well, today it's New Year's Eve, and I get the privilege and the honour of teaching the Word of God on New Year's Eve. Now, I know there's only going to be six of you watching, because right now you're all out having a good time, but we're going to get down to business anyway. And so if you have your Bibles with you there, open them up to Mark chapter 4, and in verse 35 through to 41, we're going to be talking about Jesus as he calms the storm. But before we do that, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for our time together today. We thank you for a great year. We thank you for 2023 and all of the joy, all of the challenge, all of the wonderful things that you have done in and through our lives, not just individually, but as a church. And we want to give you praise and honor. As one chapter closes, Lord, we know another chapter is opening. 2024 is just around the corner, and we're excited to see what you'll do in our lives in that year. But in this moment, Lord, we pray that you help, that you would help us settle our hearts, focus our minds to receive your word today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, church, if you're anything like me, you have for sure on this day gone ahead and made a New Year's resolution. I know you have. Whether it's lose weight, run a marathon, get out of debt, get your finances in order, whatever it is, we've all made a New Year's resolution. And we've all made and broken New Year's resolutions as well. Because let's be honest, generally speaking, they don't work. I've got so many friends, and myself, I have made so many New Year's resolutions over the years. I've done all the things that you could possibly imagine, only for 2 weeks later to see that Ferrero Rocher left over from Christmas lying in between, yes, that's right, in between the cushions on the couch. I reached down, and I know I'm meant to be focusing on, you know, being able to button up this shirt again, but at the end of the day, who doesn't love a Ferrero Rocher? Broken, gone, a little bit depressed, a little bit dejected, couldn't even get through 2 weeks without snacking on the couch Ferrero Rocher. Well, we all know that resolutions come, resolutions go. But my challenge and my question to us all tonight as we look down the barrel of a brand new year, 2024, who can believe it's 2024, right? They told us we're going to have hoverboards in 2024. Still haven't got my hoverboard. Flying cars, where are they? Back to the Future? They're still not here. But anyway, 2024, right down the barrel. What's God going to do in 2024? What are we going to do for God in 2024? Are we going to be able to leave 2023 behind us and thank God for it and believe with faith and expectation that God has a better 2024 for us? Well, my prayer for you is that you would understand that God has something new for you this year. We serve a God of the new day, the new song. He's doing a new thing, Isaiah says. And I'm just wondering, I'm just daring to believe that God is going to do something new in your life and something new in my life as 2024 rolls around. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. It says, "Now glory be to God by his mighty power at work in us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dream or dare or ask or hope." I absolutely love that passage of scripture. It's God's promise that the power that's working with us, that's Jesus living within us, that's his Holy Spirit resident inside, transforming who we are, that's a promise that because of that power, because of Holy Spirit power living within us, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we thought or imagined. I don't know about you, but I'm going into 2024 believing that God is going to do this exceeding and abundantly in my life. And I hope he's going to do infinitely more in your life as well. See, the reality is oftentimes we dream and we plan and we wrangle and we finagle and we scheme and we try and plan out our course and make a bit. And I'm not saying we shouldn't set goals, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have a target, something to shoot for. I'm not saying that we shouldn't believe that God has a specific laid out purpose for our life in 2024. But I want to just maybe challenge the notion that if you're a follower of Jesus, then you've done what the disciples are doing right here in Mark chapter 4. You've gotten into a boat obeying Jesus. You're crossing over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. See, the Sea of Galilee, I had the privilege a few years ago of going to Israel and seeing the Sea of Galilee for itself. It is an inland sea and it's a vast sea. And what they say about the Sea of Galilee, they say that the weather can whip up out of nowhere. It can be calm, it can be perfect, like wakeboarding conditions. It can be perfect water ski conditions. Mate, you could drop a line down there and see the fish grab it right off the hook. But just from out of nowhere, wind can whip up through the desert and create such a tumult, such a squall that it threatens and strikes fear into the heart of even the most seasoned of mariners and fishermen. And of course, in this story, many of you know the story in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says to his boys, the disciples, get in the boat, boys, we're going to the other side. So kind of in the same way, we've got in the boat with Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, you've said yes to Jesus. You've obeyed him. You've jumped in the boat. That boat somewhat represents, or if you want to draw an analogy, our life. Our life is like the boat. We've followed Jesus. Jesus has hopped inside. We've said, God, wherever you send me, wherever you take me, I'm following. I'm your disciple. I'm going where you're going, right? We've all done that if we're followers of Jesus. And I think sometimes we just kind of expect that because Jesus is in our boat, then it's going to be all smooth sailing. It's going to be all just plain sailing. It's going to be like the P&O Fairstar. It's going to be like, I don't know, bottomless mocktails. There you go. Bottomless mocktails. You got that one right? For all the Baptists out there, mocktails, all right? What is it? It's this endless crab and prawn and lobster and buffets and shows. And sometimes I think we think churches like that, right? We come here, we get entertained, somebody engages our emotions, strikes that little sense of, oh, yeah, and makes us feel good about where we're at right now. And then we can easily walk out of church or walk out of that what can sometimes seem like a sanctified cabaret show, and then go back to the reality of life where it seems like out of nowhere sometimes storms just arise. Have you ever been there? I know in the last 18 months, my mum was diagnosed with cancer. I know our very own Pastor Roz had her challenges and battle with cancer this year. Out of the blue, things can flare up. Things can engulf us, so to speak. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. One minute they're plain sailing over to the other side of the lake. The next minute, the tumult, the storm, right? The perfect storm seems to arise. And when we read the story, we can read the passage of scripture right here. They kind of get a little bit nervous. They kind of freak out. And wouldn't you too if you kind of thought, well, I'm just following this Jesus guy. He's doing miracles everywhere. He's telling us to love our neighbors and love our enemies and everything seems fine. But the second I get in spoke, the second I step out and obey him and go where he is calling me to go, there's this storm. And of course, they're nervous. And so they're looking for Jesus and they find him, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, at the stern of the boat, which is the back of the boat. He's at the back of the boat and he's sleeping. But not only is he sleeping, his head is on a cushion. Kind of a bizarre detail to add. When you're freaking out, right? You're asleep, Jesus, and you're on a cushion. I don't know about you, but if that was me in that boat and I found Jesus sleeping in the middle of a storm, I'd have some questions. I'd ask some questions. Jesus, for starters, that's just bizarre, right? Have you ever been on a boat? If you've been on a boat in Lake Macquarie, when the wind whips up, it's pretty hard to sleep even when it's calm. But I think it speaks. This story speaks to the character and the person of Jesus, our God. When we are at our most frantic, when we are at our most stressed out, when we are at our most divided in our mind and in our spirit, Jesus is completely whole, at peace, and calm in the middle of the storm. See, this story could easily just be, you know, our culture would look at this story today and just dismiss it as, oh, it's a nice fairy tale that kind of someone just wrote in the Bible there to assert that your God is maybe in control of everything. You know, that would be one way our culture would approach our story here in Mark chapter 4. But I think that's not a very rigorous way of looking at the story. I think it's a little bit more complex than that. I think it's a little bit more detailed than that. And there's more in the backstory of this than what meets the eye. If you read this passage of scripture through the lens or through the eyes, through the mind of an ancient Near Eastern or first century person, they wouldn't have the same perspective of the sea and the ocean that we have today, right? Because when you go out in a boat today, you jump on a Sydney ferry and you cross over, never does it enter your mind that this thing's going down or that you're going to have any trouble in the middle of the harbour. Most people think when they get on a Sydney ferry, they're going to get to Manly or wherever they're going, no worries at all. And of course, on those big ships, there's lifeboats and there's the life preserver jackets and the rings and all that sort of stuff. Plus there's Coast Guard and there's other boats out there and there's plenty of lights around, right? But in the mind of the ancient Near Eastern human traveller, follower of Jesus in this case, the sea still held a level of concern, mystique. It was wild, it was chaotic, it was unpredictable. That's probably the word I'm searching for. It was an unpredictable place to be in the middle of the sea, you see. And so if we look at it through those eyes, we can kind of draw the analogy of sometimes what it feels like to do life with Jesus. The second we're just in the boat and we're cruising, then all of a sudden, wow, something chaotic happened. It's a little unpredictable. How did I get here? I thought it was going to look like this, but in fact, it actually looks like that. How do we navigate and how do we handle life when the chaos ensues? Well, I love what the disciples do for starters. They didn't start worrying and going crazy and trying to bail water out themselves. Their first port of call was Jesus. And I'm here to encourage you tonight and maybe fuel a bit of fire in you to maybe make 2024 a more focused year than ever. Maybe it's your year to lean less on your own understanding and lean more on Jesus' understanding. See, if Jesus is asleep in the middle of your chaos and we're the only one freaking out, right? It's possible that we've forgotten that Jesus wasn't just a good moralizer or a great teacher, but he is in fact the Son of the living God, the second member of the Trinity, and God himself. He is God incarnate. We've just celebrated Christmas where we celebrated the Christ child, the God becoming man, God putting on flesh and bone and becoming human like us so he could bear with us, so he could experience what it was to be human, so he could empathize with the human condition and he could serve us by showing us who God was. And then ultimately, as we know, going to the cross, dying on that cross in our place for our sin to defeat the grave. And I want to say to you today that maybe 2024 needs to hold a little bit more focus on Jesus and a little less focus on the storm. Are you with me there? For all those people that are viewing online right now, are you with me there? Come on, give us a hallelujah. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know all you're looking for right now is to land your resolution and to get that kiss at midnight. Well, I want you to think maybe Jesus has got more for you than a resolution this year. Maybe he wants to give you a New Year's revelation, a revelation of his strength, a revelation of his glory, a revelation of his power, a revelation of his purpose in your life. See, the disciples, their first call was to wake Jesus in the middle of the storm. And that was a good place to start, but I don't believe it's where Jesus envisaged it ending. What does Jesus do? He gets up and he goes to the side of the boat. I'm assuming he goes to the side of the boat. I'm not really a boat guy, so the stern, I'm pretty sure, is at the back. Maybe he goes to the bow of the boat. Yes, I think the Bible says he goes to the bow of the boat, which means he's up front, Titanic style, like this, right? Kate Winslet is nowhere to be seen. But Jesus rebukes the waves and the wind. He says, be calm, be still. And you're not going to believe it. Guess what? They became calm and they became still. And then the disciples, the Bible says, really freaked out. That's when they went, oh my goodness, who is this guy? Who is this guy that we've signed up to follow? Even the waves and the wind obey him. But it's interesting, if you look at something that Jesus said to them, he said this, and I quote, verse 39. He says, why are you afraid? Do you still have so little faith? Interesting. You would think that Jesus, after being awoken from his slumber, now let's be honest, no one's happy when they're woken up from a nap, right? I'm not. And maybe this is part of the humanity of Jesus we're seeing. We understand the divinity of Christ, the hypostatic union, the divine nature, the human nature of Jesus collected together in human form. Maybe Jesus is having a human moment. He's a bit tired, he's a bit weary, but no, I don't think it was that at all. I think Jesus stood up in all of his humanity and all of his divinity and says, hey, why are you guys afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why? Because it might be first port of call to go to Jesus and to shake him. But I think if that's our response for everything, every time we go through a challenge, every time we go through a hiccup, every time we go through a challenge, our first port of call is if I just shake Jesus, he'll wake up and fix all my problems. Well, I'm sorry to do a doozy on you, but Jesus said in the book of John, he said, in this life, you will have trouble. Thank you, Jesus. I do not receive that prophetic word. I don't know about you, but when I read that passage of scripture, I'm like, wow, Jesus was a savage. He was brutally honest. He promised, one of the promises of God, you know, when we say all the promises of God are yes and amen, we usually think that's got to do with like our finances or our relationships or whatever. But this is a promise. The promise is in this life, you will have trouble. And I reckon if you've been human for long enough, you'll have had some troubles of your own. And though we empathize with those, Jesus, I believe, has a greater and better way. See, our response to our challenges in life and our problems in life should not just be, oh, help me, Jesus, just fix the problem. See, Jesus does not want to be treated like a vending machine. That every time we need something from Jesus, we just go and give a little prayer and he dispenses a blessing, or he dispenses a get out of jail free card, or he dispenses something else like that. No. If you read the book of John, 1 John, in fact, it, and this is my paraphrase version, it says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we to be. See, that's the great call from God to the church, is to be like Jesus. Our modus operandi should be, let's look at the life of Jesus and emulate his behavior. Let's be like Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian today, it literally means little anointed one. That's what it means. In the first century, the name Christian was not a term of endearment. It was a slight on the people of the way. The people that followed Jesus were teased. They were called Christians, little anointed ones. Why? Because they mimicked and they emulated and they lived their life the way Jesus showed them and instructed them to live. See, the disciples did a really good job of figuring out what it is that Jesus did and emulated that in their own life. They taught that to the early church, and that was a big part of what it meant to be a Christ follower. So as we approach 2024 and we leave 2023 behind us, I'm wondering if there's a better way than just shaking Jesus every time we need a blessing. Maybe our focus for 2024, church, needs to be a little bit more like this. What would Jesus do in this situation? Because I tell you, when Jesus was faced with a chaotic storm, he didn't nervously shrink back into his cushion. He didn't look around at the disciples, assemble a committee, and say, let's have a vote on which direction we should paddle. He didn't do that. He simply stood up, went to the front of the boat, and he told that storm to be calm. And if we're Christians, if we're little anointed ones, if we're followers of Jesus, called not just to be like him in terms of our demeanor, but to be like him in terms of our behavior. See, and oftentimes in church we teach we got to be like Jesus, and we take that to mean we need to be more loving, we need to be more humble, we need to be more grace-filled, and all of that is true. And we should absolutely emulate those great and lofty things. We should go after those with all of our heart. But we should also look at the part of Scripture where it says Jesus went around destroying the works of the evil one. We should look at moments in Scripture where Jesus was the answer to somebody's prayer, when Jesus was the power in the midst of a generational curse, when Jesus healed, when Jesus raised from the dead, when Jesus rebuked the chaos that was surrounding his friends. I wonder if 2024 is a call for Christians like you and I to fully walk into and to fully step into our God-given, ordained role as little anointed ones, truly to be anointed with the power and the purpose of God, to be people that carry the Spirit of the living God within us. Let's not forget that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and you and you and you and you and all of us, right? If we've got this power resident within us, then surely when times of storm and chaos and doubt and worry, of which I have faced so many times, as I know many of you would have as well. And so many times I've shaken Jesus and said, just give me a quick fix. just make me feel good. Help me out of this slump. Give me enough money to make next week's rent or whatever. I've been there plenty of times. In fact, there's one passage of Scripture that I want to just quickly draw your attention to. It's one verse, in fact, in this, and I'm going to wrap this all up and tie a bow on it and give it to you for next year. And it's simply this, that the disciples said to Jesus when they woke him up, do you not even care that we're drowning? And it seems to me when I look back on my life, there's been plenty of times when I've gone to God, shaken him, woken him up, and told him my problems and said, don't you even care? It seems like the kind of question that gets thrown around a lot in our world today, right? If God truly was God, then wouldn't he care about this? When we hear about wars, when we hear about floods and famines and all manner of global events that are happening in our generation, at our time, it's so easy to go, well, God, if you really cared, you'd do something about that. Well, friends, I believe that is the wrong question to ask. The right question to ask is, when I'm faced with a storm in my own world, in my own life, in amongst my family, with my colleagues at work, in my university, at my school, wherever it is that I do life, whatever spaces that I inhabit as this human being, what is my response? Am I looking for a quick fix and get God to fix it and just wave his magic wand? Or do I step into the authority that is given to me in Christ Jesus? Do I step into the power that is resident within me? Do I, like Jesus, get to the front of that proverbial boat? Do I take charge in my own life and start to rebuke, start to decree, start to declare, start to speak the promises of God over my situation, over my marriage, over my family, over my kids, over my work? That's what I believe the true call of God for the church and us as individuals is to be. Sure, we go to Jesus, but we go to Jesus not in fear, we go to Jesus in faith. We go to Jesus and say, Jesus, in your power, I'm stepping up to the front of the boat. I'm going to declare God's goodness over my life. I'm going to declare your mercy over my family. I'm going to declare your healing power over my loved one. Friends, can I encourage you that 2024 is but a few hours away, and you have the choice right now to just make a resolution, something kind of mundane that will be broken in 2 weeks. Or we can ask God together to give us a greater revelation, a New Year's revelation, not a New Year's resolution, but a New Year's revelation of who he's called us to be and what he's called us to do. See, I believe God has got so much for you, church, this year in 2024. It's a new year, a new day, and God wants to do new and wonderful things in your life. But it takes somebody that's going to step up and receive what God has for them. Let's not just slink back into being kind of mundane, moralistic Christians that really don't change the temperature of the environment we're called to inhabit. Let's be Christians that have a full-on faith, a passion to not just go with the flow, but to set the spiritual climate in every space we inhabit. In your workplace, be a light for Jesus. In your family, be a light for Jesus. Come on, step up in the power and the purpose that God has given you. You might say, Adam, but I work on the council, or I run my own business, I'm not a preacher or a teacher or a pastor or anything like that. Well, that's good. That's good. Because Jesus has called every single one of us. In fact, in the book of Peter, he calls us a holy generation. Right? We're the ecclesia, we're the church, we're the called out ones. People who do what I'm doing here, preaching and teaching and pastoring, Our job is to spur you on to good works. See, my job is not complete till you're doing what you are called to do in the spaces that you inhabit. So my prayer for you, my encouragement to you, my challenge to you as 2024 is just around the corner is don't just slink back into mundane moralism, but step up into what God has for you by the power of His Spirit. Be somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit and power this year. And you know what? It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's actually easier than you think. It's about saying, God, I'm here. I'm available. Use me however you want me to be used. And then walk and step out in that boldness, filled with faith, trusting the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in Jesus' name. 2024 is going to be your best year yet. And to that end, I'm going to pray a blessing over you in Jesus' name. Come on, would you bow with me and pray? Father, I thank you in this moment, on the cusp, on the edge of a new year, that you would speak to people in a profound way, that even though we may have our plans and our schemes and the things that we want to accomplish next year, they are all great and wonderful. But Lord, I pray that we would be the type of Christians that lay those things at your feet, that submit and commit them to you, that we won't just be happy to just ride a pew at church, but we would be people that would step forward and step up into the things of God, that we would be people, Lord, followers of Jesus, little anointed ones, ready to decree and declare the goodness, the saving grace, the mercy of God to those around about us. Help us to understand that 2024 holds new and wonderful blessings and promises for all of us to walk in. Let us not shrink back. Let us step forward, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.